Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, as the caller last hour said, something to the effect of, there's a lot going on in Philadelphia sports, including an NFL draft, which we'll get to later this hour, and for the next 3 days until Thursday. All right, let's welcome in our next guest from the booth to the Tasty Cake studio. Ben Davis calling the last bunch of games for the Phils. All wins. Coincidence? I think not. Good morning, Benjamin.
Top of the morning to you.
And all the rest of the Chicago White Sox, who were the gift that kept on giving the last couple of days.
Wow.
Isn't it, you know? Ben, you know what's always struck me? When you see a no-hitter or a near no-hitter, it's usually against a really bad team.
Yeah.
And this one that was this weekend was almost two. Holy mackerel.
I haven't seen anything like it in my life.
Really?
They were, and I hate to say it because, you know, I played for the White Sox.
Yeah.
You talk about an inferior team. They were terrible.
They were horrible.
Terrible.
Yeah, they are really bad. And they were a good team. They were a very good team 2 years ago. I mean, they made the playoffs 2 years ago with Tony La Russa. What'd they win, 90-something games?
Yeah.
Like a bunch of games 2 years ago. Maybe it was 3 years ago, whatever year it was.
Looked like they'd fallen past where I would have expected, like, a bad team to be.
Yeah. You know, well, especially in a big market.
Bad team. Sure.
You know what I mean?
A bad team in a big market.
I think they might be the worst team of our lifetime.
Do you really?
I'm not kidding at all. Yeah. I'm dead serious. They're on pace for 24 wins.
Was that, like, the players would try to make a play, and then they would, I don't know, like, fall down. It was almost like it looked worse than, like, Keystone Cops bumbling foolish.
Mike Schmidt was making fun of them that they looked like Elaine from Seinfeld dancing.
Correct.
Out in the outfield. Yeah. It was so bad.
Yeah, it looked less athletic.
We went to break in one of the commercial breaks yesterday, and I looked at Schmidt, and we took our headphones off. I said, this team is horrible.
Yeah.
And he said, you ain't kidding.
Yeah.
Like, they were really bad. And I felt badly because you could see the look on their faces on the field, like, we don't have a chance.
Jeez. So let's tackle the Phillies thing here, Ben, because that's really what we care about. So I'm going to ask you the same question I asked James right out of the gate when we were early in the show today. So are the Phillies going to comfortably make the playoffs?
I think so.
Like, is that where they now are?
Yeah.
I think so, too. I thought so before the season started. Then you had the first, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, whatever the heck it was. But this last week, and I know it was against some really bad teams, but 6 in a row, spectacular starting pitching, improved hitting from the first 2 weeks of the season. Not everybody. By the way, Stott's not hitting much. But the Phillies, and, you know, one game back at the Atlanta Braves, like, it's now a different April.
Yeah.
And it should be a different whole campaign, I think.
Well, that was their premise coming out of spring training. We need to be better early on in the year.
Right.
And they've made a point to be better. The competition has not been great, but the pitching has been really, really good. If that sustains throughout the year, they'll coast in.
Listen, guys, let's just call it what it is. This is one of the great pitching staffs the Phillies have ever had. I mean, fact. Are they as accomplished as 2011? No. Do I think they're as good as 2011? No. If they get, you know, real excellent seasons from Ranger and Christopher Sanchez, they could push up on that.
I mean, Christopher Sanchez is better than Roy Oswalt was, you know, in 11, for what it's worth.
I would agree with that. I need to see Christopher Sanchez sustain that. You know, 3 weeks doesn't make him better than a formerly great pitcher who was still pretty good but not truly great that year. That's what he was. I'd say he was pretty good.
I thought he was, like, closer to average that year as well. But
well, we'd have to look up his ERA. My guess was it was in the threes, but high threes. But anyway, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Let's get to Hassan in Strawberry Mansion. A lot of 76ers talk on the table as well. Good morning, Hassan.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. How you guys doing?
Doing great, Hassan.
I'm not I don't really want to get on the Phillies. They're looking good right now. They got hundreds of games. I could talk about them in a minute. Embiid, it was like you guys said, the first quarter, I was like, yeah, we're going to walk right through New York. Who's on next? And then I'm watching the game, before the injury. I've been critical of Embiid for a while, right? So I'm looking at him, and I'm watching him be a 7'3" guard out there, and like I don't need you to do that much and put that much extra stress on your knee.
So what are you talking about when he brings the ball up the court?
Not so much bringing the ball up the court because that's not strenuous. But when Kyle Lowry is bringing the ball up the court and then handing you the ball at the 3-point line, expecting you to make the play, like that's not what I need from you. I need the play to be made and you get the end result of it, not you be the playmaker. Like, that's what guards and swingmen are for.
Well, he's really skilled. I mean, one of the reasons you put the ball in his hands a lot, even to create, is because he can do it. I mean, the guy averaged 35 points a game this year, and it wasn't all in the low block. You know, Hassan, he also sets those screens up top. I mean, that's part of how you get those open threes up top. There's a big difference between Joel Embiid setting a screen at the 3-point line and Kelly Oubre setting that. You know, there's a reason Nick Nurse doesn't ask Kelly Oubre to set that screen.
It's not the screen setting that I'm a little upset with, although he doesn't roll off any screen. I'm a little upset with that. But I think it's just way too much movement on the leg when he's ball handling. Like, he's trying to create, and when he's pulling up for jump shots and fadeaways, like it's too much as a former player.
But
more stress on your knee and activity going angular.
Here's what I'm going to say to you. When he dunked the ball the other day and got either re-injured or scared or whatever, it was his first dunk since he came back. Which, by the way, I didn't know until the announcer said it. So it's not like he hasn't been picking his spots a bit. I mean, what you're asking, Hassan, to me is a little unreasonable. Like, he's playing basketball. Like, he either plays or he doesn't play. If he's going to play, he can't pick his spots every which way you want. I mean, you got to do something. So, you know, Hassan, give me an answer here. Give me a Jack.
Peter Pan, son Jack.
Peter Pan's son Jack.
Pan didn't have a son.
Well, according to Hassan, he did. Certainly not.
How
winning
could
answer.
Peter Pan have a son? He's the eternal boy, isn't he?
I mean, that was my thought, but, you know, things have happened in human history.
I feel confused.
I'm trying to say it delicately. You know, I know we got kids
going. Good.
We got kids on their way to school here. All right. Everybody settled down.
Right.
Ben, what do you make of the Joel thing? You know, we talked a lot in the first hour about it. I mean, I still don't know if he was re-injured or just scared. I tend to think he was just scared, but I don't know. Like,
I think that's a huge part of it. I mean, Ben, you've experienced coming back from a reconstructed joint, this isn't even a reconstructed joint. This is a scope. You've come back from something where you didn't know how it was going to respond.
Yeah.
The first few steps. I mean, we're past where it's the first few steps. It's been a couple months.
But
now.
Here's the other thing:
he's played multiple games.
Yeah.
So are you frustrated that he's not more confident in his knee?
Yeah, I am.
Is that the way to frame it?
Because it, you know, again, I'm not a doctor, but it wasn't that drastic a procedure. When I came back from Tommy John, I remember the first time I actually had to throw a baseball, and this was months and months after having surgery, I was scared to death.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The first ball I threw went right into the ground. I was scared to death. And the guy was doing my rehab. I was doing Randy Wolf, actually. Randy had his Tommy John done the day before I had mine. So Randy and I were together for 8 straight months.
Yeah.
And he said, listen, you have to trust it. This thing is a lot stronger than the good Lord made it.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point right there.
You know?
But every step of the way, you find reasons to doubt your recovery process. Me, personally, I can remember coming back from a shoulder, being out on my back porch, walking down the steps. It was dark. I slipped and caught myself. And you know, with that shoulder that was just reconstructed in a sling,
mm-hmm.
and I remember thinking, oh, man, I just did myself in.
Yep.
You know, like, great. Now back to the drawing board.
Yep.
But when I talked to the, you know, the doctors about it, the athletic trainers about it, they said something similar. Like, man, we just went in there. We put Kevlar in there. You know, like the stuff that they made bullet, they make bulletproof vests out of. We've augmented your joint. We've helped fix it. Like, it'll be okay. You know, it can take some of licks.
Let me ask this question,
back.
James. So we're hearing from the two athletes in here, from your. Like you, me, and Rhea, you know, we don't play big league sports, all right? Do you think, James, he was just scared the other day? It freaked him out, and it was no actual, like, re-injury, so to speak?
Man, I don't know. Because I could see it either way. I could see it freaked him, because he came back. So I don't think it's a serious injury, because I don't think they let him come back into the game if it's anything truly serious that could hamper him for, you know, that could knock him out for the playoffs. But I definitely think he probably felt something in there.
Well, he definitely felt something.
Yeah,
we all know he didn't. It wasn't a fan, like he felt something, but
look at his eyes when he was lying.
He was scared.
He was terrified.
Oh, he was.
He felt something that caused him fear and
no
consternation,
question.
Concern.
Me
he
too.
Didn't know
yeah,
what to
right.
expect when he stood up. He was still lying down there. He didn't know if it was gonna, you know, support him. When he stood up, you could see the question marks in his eyes. But he needs to get to the point where he doesn't have those any longer. And he can, but my gosh,
he better get
it
there,
feels
John.
Like we're a little behind with this process,
he better,
doesn't it?
Better get there soon.
Yeah, hustle up with this.
All right, 215-592-9494. Speaking of Joel, what Nick Nurse said yesterday about Joel's status, we'll get to that. Plus, Mel Kiper and Field Yates together with the latest mock draft. Who they have the Eagles taking at pick 22. We'll tell you that more on the Phils as well. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, it's 94 WIP.
Here's what's happening at Borgata. Don't miss out on the action at Borgata's Poker Room, where great cards, lucky seats, and high hands bring excitement to every player. Open 7 days a week. Excitement is waiting, and you are only miles away from your happy place. Experience award-winning restaurants, exciting bars, and live music.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, I'm not going to call it a must-win tonight, because I do think the Sixers could come back from a 2-0 hole, but it is a damn important game. And I think the Sixers will win it. I really do. Of course, saying that is bizarre when you don't even know what Joel Embiid's going to be able to sustain and how long he can sustain if he even starts the process of sustaining.
But what if he's better at sustaining because he's got a couple legitimate tough-fought games under his belt, you know, and that's what he needed to get back into real basketball shape. It feels as though that's the only thing that gets Joel Embiid into the proper shape is playing basketball.
I know.
But at least he's been doing that.
I know. I'll say this, though. You also don't want him – look, this series is going to go – I think this series is going to go long. But you also don't – if you're going to win, you also want to try to wrap it as quick as possible. Don't get me wrong. If a Knicks fan's listening, he's like, oh, that guy's an idiot in Philadelphia. He's talking about wrapping the series as quick as possible. Yeah. They're in a 1-0 hole. My point is, like, you know, come on. Let's get this thing cranked up. Now, Tobias Harris, enough. I am so sick of it. I am so sick of it. I'm so sick of Nick Nurse now continuing to go to him. He is a nice guy who's not good enough. Period. Well, end of story.
Especially because he's not here anymore.
Correct.
Like, it'd be one thing if there were 3 years left on the contract, like the Taiwan thing. It's like, all right, I guess you got to put him back in because there's so much time left and so much money. There's no reason to play this guy.
James, I agree, but I will say this one thing in Nick Nurse's defense. He doesn't trust the others. I mean, your options are freaking Hield, who's as one-dimensional as any player maybe of all time in Philadelphia sports. The guy does one thing, and that's it. He makes open three-pointers. That's all he does. It didn't get you a loose ball. It doesn't get you a rebound. Doesn't get. I mean, a little bit more assists than I expected. I'll say that.
Tobias played the most minutes of any Sixer in the fourth quarter. Do you think that's merited over Nico, Campaign?
No,
Buddy. Like, but with the defense,
John.
Thinking about the defense. Remember how important it is to contain Brunson in this series. Like that's point number one. We did a great job of that. Tobias did factor in to playing defense on Brunson. Like, he's part of that rotation. So,
you know what really
nice job
you know,
on that part.
You know what struck me? Really struck me. Did you guys catch the stat ESPN flashed up that Brunson was second this year in charges taken, which were, I think it was like 39 charges taken in 1 year? Tobias Harris in 5.5 seasons with the Sixers doesn't have one. I'm not making this up. Ben, wow. In 5.5 years, Tobias Harris has taken zero charges.
Wow.
In 1 year, Jalen Brunson took 39.
Hey, so who's our guy? Who's our guy, Brunson? Who's our Brunson-y guy? It's Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry.
Lowry is the mindset. He is the mindset that you are praying rubs off on Joel. That guy is bringing it, and he has been better than what I expected.
He has been.
Kyle Lowry is 38 years old?
Well, I'm looking at him and saying, why did he get rid of him?
What's that?
Why did he get rid of him?
I don't know. He's going to be so valuable. I mean, mindset alone, but the guy can actually get it done physically still. I don't know how he's doing it.
Well, let's go to the phones because there's a lot to discuss. I'll just say this. While there were discouraging elements in game one, clearly, most notably another Joel knee thing, limited lift in the fourth quarter, and obviously ultimately a loss, I actually, oddly, came away more encouraged. Because I think there's just three Knicks guys in particular played way the hell above their head. A couple of those bench guys, they're not going to play that
Deuce
well.
Deuce McBride.
Well, that guy was the main guy.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous.
It's
so
crazy.
I think the Sixers are going to win tonight, but I will say this. I mean, we knew it going in, and we still know it. So goes Joel, so goes this series. He was good enough in game one to get you close enough, but he wasn't good enough to win. Because when you needed buckets in the fourth quarter, he couldn't provide them. He just couldn't. Let's go to the – or didn't, whatever way you want to put it. 215-592-9494. We'll do a lot this segment on the draft as well. Mel Kiper, mock draft. That's up ahead shortly. Tom in Dover right now. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing this morning?
Doing well, Tom.
Hey, Joe, what's up, man? Ain't no text message been coming through or nothing. What's been going on?
Everything is good.
Joe's ghosting you, Tom?
Oh, no.
Yeah, he do that what? From time to time.
What in the world?
That's all right. I get it. He's so, texting out of the clear blue.
Can you explain yourself, please, Joe?
I don't know what
ghosting
to say.
Tom?
I don't.
How rude.
Wow, you're really stammering here.
I don't know what to say here, Tommy.
I'll get back to it.
I'm very busy.
Whatever. Listen, I only called in today, man, because we got – John, you know you my man. I say it all the time, but we got to stop it with the Sixers, stuff, man. They Sixers can't win, man. Real.
They can't actually win. Tom, they can win.
No, they can't. No, they can't. First of all, the supporting cast ain't all that good neither. You know, you just got them talking about the guard that we run in. What's his name?
Buddy Hield.
Buddy Hield. You just got them talking about Buddy Hield. Come on, man. Everybody don't show up, man. If everybody don't show up, you can't win. In the playoffs, man, you need people to step up, man.
I know, but McBride's not going to do that again. I mean, come on.
McBride's been playing good all season.
And Josh Hart's not going to – but Josh Hart's not going to make – and I love Josh Hart. He's not going to make three three-pointers in the last 5 minutes of a game.
Brunson's not going to have 22 points again.
I understand. I get it.
Listen to this, man. Brunson.
But we can have a plan to slow down Brunson.
Listen, we need the guy. We need the big guy. I hate to – you know, I'm a Chuck from Mount Airy fan. And Chuck's right, man. The boy and B don't handle heart, man. You got to go out there and play with some heart, man. You know, if the doctors and everybody say the knee is fine, come on, man, let's go out there and play.
All right, Tom, give me an answer for a Jack for a $100 gift card. What do you got?
Hey, you would have been cracking up, Joe, because me and Jimmy was going back and forth. I was saying I thought it was Nicholas. I thought y'all was talking about Nicholas,
nope.
So I was going to say Nicholson.
No. Nope.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying Jack Nicholas, the golfer. What are you talking about?
That's a big-time answer right there. Jack Nicholas, obviously.
Golden Bear.
That is exactly correct. Certainly could be a winning answer here today. 215-592-9494. By the way, congratulations if you missed it over the weekend. Congrats to WIP's own Glenn Macnow on obviously a spectacular career. The career is not over, but the broadcasting career is near over, as on Saturday, Glenn announced in 3 months he will retire from broadcasting. So Glenn, who it's been, I believe the number is 31 years. Yep. Three more months for Glenn. Tremendous career here on WIP. And he will retire. Final show July 13th. So great. You know, we'll have Glenn on as we get closer to that point. Obviously, we'll get him on the morning show. But these final 3 months, certainly enjoy the weekend show while you get the chance. 3 more months of Glenn. All right, coming up here in 1 minute. 1 minute's time. Mel Kiper and the mock draft and who he's got the Eagles take. And we'll get to that coming up in 1 minute. By the way, we've got a draft in 3 days. That's up ahead in 1 minute. Hey, isn't it time to invest in yourself? I certainly say it is. So start at PI Dental Center with decades of experience in complex dental treatment. You know, I've been a patient at PI Dental now for 2 decades. My mom, a patient there for 3 decades with Dr. Glenn Wolfinger and Dr. Robert Slough, both board-certified prosthodontists. They specialize in the restoration and the replacement of teeth. PI Dental Center are also the originators of the teeth in a day. That's a revolutionary treatment that delivers fixed teeth and implants placed for a dramatic transformation in a mere 1 day. Let me translate this for you, make it all real simple. If you got a big old problem with your teeth, maybe it goes back to being a kid, something you've always wanted to get resolved and never did. Or more recently, you got banged up, an accident, a fall, whatever it might be. Know that PI Dental Center, they can fix you. You got to get yourself there, though, to get it done. Get there. Fort Washington's PI Dental Center. Start with their website, PIDentalCenter.com. Visit PIDentalCenter.com to request your new patient evaluation. All right, we have with us now a new Mel Kiper, and in this case, also Field Yates mock draft. As Field Yates and Kiper have put together actually multiple rounds of a mock draft. So back and forth they go. First pick, just for point of reference here, went to Mel. And as a result, the second pick then went to Field Yates and on down the line. So it's Field Yates at pick 22 that actually makes the selection for the Eagles. Now, before we tell you who Field Yates specifically picks for the Eagles at 22, let's kind of build up to it and give you some of the notable names that we've talked about as it relates to this draft from an Eagle standpoint and when they come off the board, if they come off the board prior to the Eagles. So, John, some of the offensive tackles, and we've talked a ton about these guys, Troy Fitano, the Washington offensive tackle who can also play guard. I'll call it they. I mean, it's the combination of the two, you know, Field Yates and Mel Kiper. They have him going 10. So that's way before the Eagles. Your guy, John, that you love, J.C. Latham, the tackle from Bama, they have him going 11th. Really nowhere near the Eagles. Now, could he fall further? Sure. But that would be a big jump for the Eagles if they wanted to get up there. The Penn State.
But you've got clusters of positions in this draft. I've seen mocks that you see these guys go all over the place, and you could see a run on offensive tackles. Yeah. Boom.
I'm not
you
seeing see Latham too near the Eagles, though.
Edge guys. Boom. What's that?
I'm not seeing Latham near the Eagles much. There's a reason you like him a lot. He's considered better than most of these.
You're right. I think that he has certainly risen. Where once he was in the 20s, now he's sort of more.
James,
like
you know
what
Richie is?
Guy.
He's the guy in 2003. He wanted the Sixers to draft LeBron.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's go get that guy. Yeah, I like it. You know what? I like him the best. Let's go get LeBron James. I hear you. We'll see. Okay, we'll see how far up they go if they do. All right.
Trade up.
You can. Pick 14 is
where. He has traded up.
He has.
Like every year.
Pick 14 is where Fasanu goes, the offensive tackle from Penn State. Again, that's pretty far in front of the Eagles. 15 is where Terrion Arnold, the cornerback from Alabama, goes.
Man, I really like him. Just watching a little bit more of the way that he plays, he's like a cornerback who is so well. Oh, those Alabama guys, you know that they know what they're doing. And he's a guy who's versatile in, you know, scheme fit in terms of he can do anything you ask. Meaning if he's a cornerback, if he can line up and just man you up, you know he can do zone stuff too, most likely. He can be taught to do what you're asking him to do in zone. And he actually has a great feel for zone also because Alabama, they teach it well. That Arnold kid, man, if he falls, it's so unlikely that he would ever fall anywhere close to us. But
which is why we talk about Nate
trading up.
That's right.
This is a guy who's certainly in reach. I really like him a lot, just like I really like J.C. Latham a lot. this Terrion Arnold. Man, even the personality, just seeing some of the interviews with him through the process, that guy is going to be a really good pro football player.
Well, again, in this draft, Terrion Arnold at 15, that's seven picks in front of the Eagles. 18 is where Fruwaga, the offensive tackle from Oregon State, goes. Now we're getting closer to the Eagles. So here's what we got.
Talisa Fuaga, he was a lot higher early. So it sounds like, you know, Latham, as he's coming up, rising, Fuaga is dropping in draft.
All right, pick 22, Eagles. In this mock draft, they don't have the Eagles making a trade. And at pick 22, and it's Field Yates' pick, he's got the Birds taking Amarius Mims, the offensive tackle from Georgia. Now, notable that Nate Wiggins in this mock is on the board. They don't take him. Tyler Guyton, the offensive tackle from Oklahoma, on the board. They don't take him. And Cooper DeJean, the cornerback from Iowa, on the board. They don't take him. They go with Mims. Here's the write-up on Mims. They write, Lane Johnson, turning 34, so Philly might be motivated to add depth at the position, something it did in advance of Jason Kelsey's retirement, too. Mims has 803 career snaps under his belt, but exhibits all, which I believe the implication is not that's not that many, but exhibits.
He's only started 8 college games.
Yeah, exactly. But exhibits all-world physical tools, and learning from legendary coach Jeff Stoutland would be great for him. John, if on Friday morning of this week we are reacting to an Eagles first-round draft pick of Amarius Mims, what will be your reaction?
Joy. I love.
Really?
Yeah, this guy is so gigantic and incredibly talented, and got all those measurables that you're looking for in an offensive tackle. I mean, he's 6'8", 340 pounds. I know that you don't care about the arm length.
Is he too big to play guard?
He can't play guard. He cannot play guard.
Because of that size?
Yeah, he can't play guard.
So now
he's not a guy that I would peg as a guard.
I mean, that's a first-round stash.
Yeah.
And that might be a 2-year stash.
Yeah, don't love that.
Right, James? I mean, that could be a 2-year stash.
It's the only if they go offensive lineman, fine. I can't have them take a guy who's not going to play for 2 years in the first round. I can't do it.
I agree with you, James. I can't do it either. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go back to the phones. A lot on the 76ers. You want to react to this mock draft again? That's a tackle that, you know, barring injury, might not get in there for a couple years. Dennis in Springfield. Dennis, good morning, buddy.
Yo, good morning, gang. Before I get to my points, I just want a starter out of this draft. Can we get a guy that's going to play 60% or more of the snaps? Well, you know, preferably on defense. My goodness, I don't need a stash.
I agree.
All right, now,
torn on that. I'm really torn on that, Dennis. I like the idea of having a functional guy who can come in, we can cheer for right away, but I know that these players aren't expecting the young, you know, draft picks to come in and play. You know, the veteran players expect that these draft picks are guys who are going to come in and learn.
Well, I mean, would you rather have Kyle Hamilton at 90 snaps or Antone Davis at 40% of the snaps? That's what it comes down to.
Oh, boy. All right, keep going. Go ahead.
All right, before my Sixers point, and this is the reason I called. I heard you mention Joe Pellegrino.
Yeah.
This is how long I've been listening to your station. I want a trip for two to Jamaica on the Joe Pellegrino show.
Wow, that's great.
And the funny thing, I'm not even sure if I had a cell phone back then or if they had cell phones back then. I was at work, and we had the radio on at work, and people were coming, you know, other employees were saying, they just said your name on the radio. You got like 3 minutes to call. And I quick had a call in, and I won the trip for two to Jamaica.
That's tremendous,
wow,
man. That's good work.
And I think he either followed or Pat Croce show followed him, one or the other. I forget what the order was.
Yeah,
Pat Croce had
go ahead.
No, sorry. Pat Croce had like a health and fitness question and answer show.
Yep.
On right around the same time. But yeah, that's a long time. And as far as my Sixers point go, I mean, you know, Kikang. When the Knicks take a 3-point shot, can we, like, have a guy run to that guy so he doesn't get the long rebound?
Well, one thing, Dennis.
Is there something we can do to cut the rebounding down?
Dennis, one thing that is entirely obvious, and Nick Nurse has got to make a point of emphasis, box out. Put your freaking butt and your back on the other guy and make sure that he does not have an inside track to go get the freaking rebound. I mean, box out. I can't believe we're going back to the basics of, like, freaking fifth grade, but that's what we're at. I mean, if the Sixers had rebounded on Saturday, they probably would have won the game.
I mean, the second chance points is disgusting. What killed
them. Yeah, infuriating.
Disgusting.
And I do. Look, I think part of Joel needs to be better. Joel needs to get his mindset better. Joel's attitude is going to rub off to everyone else who's a Sixer. And if Joel's feeling off a little bit, I do think that translates to the way other guys play.
Yep.
He needs to be up and ready and excited and feeling great.
But John,
Think about the difference between the first quarter in that game and then after, you know, when he went down, the despondence.
Yeah,
I mean, that second quarter was, how many points did we score? It was atrocious.
It was horrible.
The mindset matters, and Joel needs to fix his if we're going to have a chance.
He is.
I get it. He needs to fix it anyway.
I think
it's not who he is. He can still fix his mindset.
Yeah, I think you might need to fix your mindset.
He can be better in terms of mental toughness. Like, get out there and do
in a brief
spurt. But he probably won't.
But
he probably won't.
Not consistently enough. He's got to win. He's got to win 16 of these games to win the championship, and it's unlikely with how inconsistent his mind is
right now.
Dennis, give me an answer for a great Jack.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys yourselves named him or not, because I turned on a few minutes later. I'm going to go with Jack the Ripper.
Has already been said. Give me a different one.
Okay, let's go with the Billy Joel song, Captain Jack.
You got it, my man.
Nice one.
Dennis, appreciate the call. Let's listen to Nick Nurse, because he was asked yesterday. So this is the day after game one. He was asked about Joel and the knee. Let's listen to what Nick Nurse said.
How's Joel's leg doing today?
Pretty good, I think. I mean, I asked him how he's feeling. He said, pretty good.
All right, so a, you know, relatively favorable answer, but with limited information. But you get pretty good.
Pretty good. No, pretty good. I think.
I know.
I think.
I know. Yes. No, I hear you, Ben. More on Joel, because the physicality, there was also an eye issue, which I didn't even catch during the game. But here's Nick Nurse talking about Joel's eye.
We're going to talk about the knee, but he also took a pretty good shot in the eye. He kept in the game, stayed in the game, excuse me, but he kept, like, touching his eye. Last night we go in the locker room, he has sunglasses on. Same thing today, leaving here. I mean, how is his eye? Did he fracture it or anything again? Because that's the same. No. He's fine?
Yep.
You know, the Joel thing, man, I fluctuate all the time between, am I ripping him? Am I not ripping him? Do I feel bad for him? Is it own fault? Here's what I know, and I looked it up this weekend because I wanted to see if I was on the right track, because Greek tragedy came to mind for me. Like, the whole Joel thing feels like a Greek tragedy. And I thought, let me look up the definition of a Greek tragedy. And, boy, it does feel pretty on point here. So here's what the definition of a Greek tragedy is. A play in which the protagonist, that would be Joel, a play in which the protagonist, usually a person of importance and outstanding personal qualities, falls to disaster through the combination of personal failing and circumstances with which he or she cannot deal.
Well, that's on point.
Correct. All of it.
Like, we are saying, guys, this is like 2,500 years after the heyday of ancient Greece, we are seeing in front of our eyes a Greek tragedy. Now, the reality is, I still think the Sixers can overcome it. Doesn't mean they will, but I think they can. I was largely encouraged about this game because I think a lot of Knicks players played over their head, and I think the Sixers can play better. But I'll say this, man, New York Hustles, I was gonna use a dirty word.
And they're deeper, man. Yeah. Like, they just get more deeper. That's the thing, is like, they might not get McBride with 21 points or whatever, but like, guys step up on that team. And this Sixers team throughout the years, we've yet to have those guys, other than Batum the other night, guys like that step up.
And the thing about, like, a guy like Josh Hart, 6'5", having whatever they said, 35 games or something with 10 rebounds at 6'5", like, that's unbelievable. So, you know, the Sixers gotta dig down. You know the guys that are gonna dig down. And then, you know, the guys you generally don't believe will dig down. I mean, you don't believe in Tobias to dig down. You don't believe in Buddy Hield to dig down. I do think they got to just work Batum like a dog. I really do. I just, dude, I need you to play 42 minutes. That's it. That's the rules. You got to play 42 minutes because I don't trust these other guys. And I'm not even saying Batum's that great. He used to be very good. I got to treat him the way I treat Lowry. Like, I'm going to work you till you die.
I love Batum and Lowry. Yeah, but they are up there. They are both advanced.
I know.
But I do believe Kyle Lowry, you can leave him out there all game. Like, you don't have to pull him off the court. He's going to figure out a way to tough it out.
We're two games into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Mindset and he's 38.
Yeah, that could be hard to sustain. Let's get to Eric right now in Cherry Hill. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Eric?
I'm not that, you know, concerned or upset about the game one loss. I thought, you know, we played generally pretty well. And even if we lose tonight, you know, it's not the end of the world. But what I took away was, I don't know if you guys caught this, in the second half, Joel just had no lift at
correct.
All.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
He was putting no effort into rebounding. He was standing there watching Tobias or whoever, Oubre. You know, like he wasn't even trying to get rebounds. And that's really concerning for me going forward.
I agree entirely. I mean, Eric, it could be one of two things. He could be truly hurting or he could be not trusting his knee.
I'm hoping beyond hope that most of this is trust. Yes, I think it was probably a little sore. It felt different. I think he felt sore. His body, because he has not played basketball, and now all of a sudden you're getting back. He's probably feeling soreness in other places that he wasn't anticipating, he wasn't expecting. Joel, he needs to push through. I believe he can. It's just going to take – like, it's up to him. It's up to him to do this, to flip that switch. The mindset needs to be Joel's choice to be tougher, you know, to refuse to go out there and show weakness.
The problem is he's not Jimmy Butler.
I know.
He's just not.
John, with all due respect, what makes you think he can? We've never seen it happen before.
Yeah.
He's never done it before. I hope he can.
Yeah. Because
he's so freaking good.
I think he wants to win. I think if he can determine, if guys like Kyle Lowry can continue to set this example and he sees other guys doing it, it's possible.
Can I get? I want to lose 15 pounds, yeah. But I'm not going to do it unless I go on a freaking diet.
Yeah, you've got to do it yourself. You're right.
Exactly.
You have to have the discipline yourself.
And John, I'll add.
He has to have the toughness himself.
I'll add on to what Ben's saying. When Todd Pinkston was on the Eagles, I wanted Todd Pinkston to go across the middle the way Terrell Owens did.
Yeah.
But he didn't. A lot of these guys are wired the way they're wired. Eric, give me a great answer for the $100 gift card. Give me a notable Jack.
Yeah, it's baseball season, so how about Cracker Jack?
Cracker Jack. All right, Ben, you were looking for something.
Ben just stuck his fist in the air expecting something.
I was looking for something else.
You can say it.
I think I know what Ben was expecting.
I'm not going to say
Michael Jack?
Yep. That's what he was expecting.
You're unbelievable. You're unbelievable.
Definitely had, I think, two callers on hold with that answer, too.
Let me tell you something about me being unbelievable.
Yes.
I've known that my whole life. What do you think this is breaking news that I'm unbelievable?
I have another word in mind, and it could win the contest.
I think there's multiple adjectives.
215-592-9494. Let's get to that report that Lisa Salters had during the game on Joel, because what Lisa Salters said was very notable in light of everything we were seeing out there. After Joel had gotten hurt, I honestly can't remember if this is before or after he came back. I think it's after he came back into the game. Here's Lisa Salters on ESPN talking about what Joel Embiid had previously told her. This was something.
I wanted to share something that Joel said to me on Wednesday before that game with the Heat. He told me that he was still trying to get back to trusting his surgically repaired left knee, that he was freaked out when he tweaked it 8 days ago against Orlando. Said he's got to realize that when something like that happens, and it will, like it did tonight, that he's going to feel something in the knee. And he says it's okay, the knee is fine, but he said he's still convincing himself that he can fully trust himself on the floor, and that's where the mental part of it comes in.
All right, so here's what I'll say about that report as it relates to the fourth quarter in particular of the game. So one of two things happened when Joel got hurt. I don't know which it was. When I say hurt, when he fell, okay, the other day. He either, like, got more re-injured or he just got scared. I mean, of course, if he got more re-injured, he also got scared. But he either got re-injured to an extent or he got really freaked out. If he was really freaked out, which is what the Lisa Salters report indicates happens to him sometimes. We don't know that it applied to that one time. But if he just got scared, I need him over the span of the next hour to get it the hell together. Because he kept coming short on his jump shots in the second half, fourth quarter in particular, and they just ran out of time in that game. And now you're getting close to running out of time in the season. Look, I think the Sixers are going to win tonight. I'm all over the place today, all right? I'm all over the place. I'm frustrated with Joel. I appreciate that he's trying to give this a shot. I mean, James, I don't know about you. At halftime, okay, now again, this is on my rewatch, if you will, because I was at the freaking Phillies game Saturday live during this. Okay, I wondered when I went back and watched it, should he even be playing in the playoffs after what I saw in the first half?
Yeah, I think we all were.
And Stephen A. Smith flat out put out there, like, I don't know if Sixers should be playing
Joel Embiid. He said it. He said it. Yeah, I know. I think we all had the same thought, and we all thought, all right, is that it? Like, whatever the injury is, are they just going to be like, and I even saw a headline after the game where it was Sixers don't plan to shut Joel Embiid down.
Right.
And it's like, whoa, man. But that is the question that comes to mind when something like that happens.
And we're not in the knee. We're not the doctor. We don't really know exactly what's going on, but there's a lot swirling through my mind. Look, here's what I do know for sure. Said it last week. I'll say it again. So goes Joel. So goes the series. If he does his job the way he's capable of, when he's capable, the Sixers will win the series. If he can't answer the bell or answer it enough, they'll lose the series. That's it. That's it. This segment right now brought to us by Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to Tom. He's calling from Middletown. Good morning, Tom. Tommy.
Hey, I'm here. Hold on. Let me take you off speaker.
All right, Tom. Talk to us, my man. What do you got here today?
Good morning, Rhea. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Hola.
Okay, now. I want to start this real quick with the Phillies. I want to thank the baseball gods for scheduling us Colorado and the White Sox back to back.
You're not kidding.
You got right.
At a perfect timing when our bats were slumping, our run production was down. Now we got the bats going, run production up, confidence up. And real quick, watching that series, I watched every game. Watching the White Sox series, there was times I felt like I was watching the movie Major League.
Well, yeah, you mean the first
half. The early part,
yeah. First half.
I mean, not the series, the movie, Major League.
I know what you mean.
I mean, that team is sad. Gosh.
They're horrendous.
Yeah, they're not in a good way.
I mean, Tom, I don't know how often it happens. We could look it up. To have a chance for no-hitters in back-to-back games and actually have them both go into the seventh inning, I mean, I got to imagine that's one in less than, like, 1,000. One in less than 10,000. No, maybe not 10, but... I mean, that's rare.
Well, they're the first team to ever get shut out 8 times in their first 21 games. So that level of futility has been on display.
Going into yesterday's game, their average batting average was 190.
Yeah, 190.
Mm. 190.
They're on pace to break the run differential for worst run. Right now, they're minus like 60-something.
Yeah.
They're on pace to break it. Since 1900, the record, the 1932 Red Sox, they're on pace to break it by 125 runs right now.
And we did something though this weekend. The only negative, I don't think Chicago will do this again this year. Score 5 runs in 1 inning.
Well, yeah, perfect timing for it.
But
if you're going to do it,
Tom, you had a 9-0 lead. It didn't matter.
Yeah, it was garbage time. All right, and then real quick before my Jack, the frustration with Joel, double frustration for me. Sixers lose the game. And I had Joel's point total over, and it was 29.5. He ends up with 29 after missing all those buckets at the end of the game.
And you were off to such a good start. How much did you lose, Tom?
Well, I had him parlay with Maxie. Maxie blew his over away, but a little bit. I dabble lightly.
What if Tom had said my house?
There you go. All right, Tom, give me a great Jack. What do you got?
All right, this Jack could be a number of people, and one that comes to mind is Ben Simmons. Hit the road, Jack.
Okay, you got it, man. Hit the road, Jack. It's a good answer right there. You know, I heard, speaking of Maxie, who was just referenced, I heard a national person say this weekend. I had never thought of it before. I think he might be right. He said that Tyrese Maxie is the best in the NBA as a guard to get to the basket. The best.
I don't know that I can argue. It doesn't feel like there's
he's got to be the fastest. Russell Westbrook can still get in there pretty good. I mean, he's flawed in a lot of ways, but when he goes into attack mode, he goes with both the speed and the force that Tyrese will never have the physicality. But I'll tell you what, Tyrese, I mean, it was incredible. Like, the Knicks were doing what they could to try to stop him, and he just slithers around them and edges past them, and it's something. I mean, he does have, like, an Iverson-like sort of speed thing going. I mean, and there's kind of nothing you can do. I mean, you can't – you're not going to double-team the guy at the top of the key. I don't think you are. So, I don't know, man. It's he's really got a unique skill set there. And, of course, with his shooting ability, it really helps, because then if they go – you know, if they try to sag off him, he'll just nail three.
Right. And so,
he will nail it.
Conscienceless. That's the biggest difference this year in his game, that he's willing to just spot, take that.
Well, he's really become a heck of a shooter. Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin, your Corvette headquarters. Visit ArminChevy.com to see Armin's selection of new and pre-owned Corvettes. Together, let's drive. Twitter poll question, who wins tonight, Sixers or Knicks? You can certainly vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Let's talk to Mike. Mike, good morning. You're on WIP.
Good morning, gang. How is everybody?
Doing well, Mike.
Very good. So, as you guys know, I'm usually only about the Eagles. And today, I just need to opine as somebody who is completely unbiased and uninterested in basketball. But hearing you guys talk about Joel Embiid for the last few years, I want to bang my head against the wall. This guy is dead weight. Make him somebody else's problem. You guys need to get it through your head that what you see is what you get. John, I love you, buddy, but stop with the that you want him, you need him to do something, you need him to be something he's not. He is soft mentally with an aging – I mean, his body is aging at an accelerated rate to the rest of the population because of his massive size. He's only going to get worse. He's only going to create more heartache for you guys. He's got to go.
Well, I'll tell you this, Mike. I'm not ready yet to trade him. I know Rhea was there last year. I get it. Yes. There was probably 5 to 10 to 15% of people there last year. I wasn't there last year. I'm still not there now. I mean, I get that day is likely coming at some point. But I also know, Mike, he is a guy that if you can ever withstand and be healthy, and I know it's the freaking biggest hit of all time. Maybe he can't. He is one of the two or three best players in the world. He is. And I just would hate to turn my back. I'd rather fail for another year or two, giving it a shot, than say, let's go play the ping pong ball game in the lottery and let's try to go get him in the year 2031 as a rebuilt team. I'm not prepared to do that. I'm just not.
What's it going to take? What is it going to take for you
two more failed times? This one, and maybe next year, and then maybe I'm ready to. I'm at.
And Joe, and then when it's time to trade him, what are you going to get? You're going to get a bag of rocks.
You're going
to
get
the guy at least has maybe some value now. Cut bait, get something back for him, move on. This is just such a deterioration to this franchise. And again, I don't even care, but I'm just watching and listening to you guys. I'm like, guys, this is you're making yourself crazy over something that's never going to happen. When somebody tells you and shows you who they are, believe them. This guy is just broken. I'm sorry. He's got all-world talent, but he's never going to be what you think he can be. It's just not there.
Hey, listen, you might be right.
What if that light bulb just comes on and he
that's a light bulb's has not
an
come
unbelievable
on.
He's 30, man.
Practice.
It's going to be about luck. It's
an
not going to be about light bulb.
Practice where he comes down, goes up and dunks it, comes down, and it holds up, and it feels solid and strong, and he gains confidence, and then he does it again, gains more confidence. He, if he has his mind right, can lift us to the top of this league.
Well, they could win the championship.
Yeah.
They could. But
it's
but,
just what evidence do we have to believe that it will? Like, we have zero evidence to believe. Like, there's zero. No other than, like, hope. Oh, I hope he feels better. Like, there is no tangible evidence to say that it's going to happen.
No, that's right. Mike, give me an answer here for a great Jack.
Jackson 5.
Jack?
Wow. Jackson
what
do you five.
Say?
Jackson 5.
Oh, Jackson 5. Yeah, oh, that's a great answer.
Sort of like that.
Great. I like that a lot.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.